leaned over to Brother Joel while she was singing that. And I said, that's one of those songs that's just difficult to sing. As I've said about few songs, that's difficult to sing and mean it. Thank you for that. Worshipful song. Thank you for it. James chapter 3. When you found your place in James 3, go ahead and join me and rise to your feet. How many of you are glad you're saved tonight? I've been working on a message for 3 weeks, and that may scare some of you, but God's done a work in my heart through it. Amen. I want to say at the very beginning that what I've got to say tonight, I am relaying of what He dealt with me about. I'm not saying that anybody out here is in need of it more than I, because that's not the case. I need what the Lord's Word has to say tonight. Look with me and let's read together, and we're going to learn tonight. From James chapter 3, begin in verse number 13. Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Question mark there. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. How many of you understand that what I have just read are the words out of the holy, infallible, inerrant, immutable, irreplaceable Word of God? I mentioned a few moments ago, I have studied this now for several weeks. And my heart has been convicted and moved in so many ways by what I'm calling tonight words from a wise old man. Words from a wise old man. Thank you for standing with me. You may be seated. Father, again, I thank you for your word tonight. Help your preacher as he delivers it. God, give me clarity. God, may my spirit be that which is in tune with you in every way. And we will thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. When speaking of wisdom, the Bible says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Now think about those words. Treasure is buried under the ground. The fact that the treasure is hidden, it implies to us that they are not on the surface of the ground, obvious to be seen by the casual eye, but they are hidden beneath the ground and they require searching for and then digging for to retrieve. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 4, God compares His wisdom to a treasure. Why would God make His wisdom so difficult for you and I to find? Why does He not make it easily accessible, that we could see and then easily pick up, that we would be able to apply in our life? Well, it's just like treasure. Wisdom is just like treasure because He doesn't do that because it is so incredibly valuable. He doesn't want folks seeking it out and seeing it and then making it easy for them to pick it up, because many of those people do not have the intentions of using the wisdom of God in the appropriate way. He has placed wisdom as a hidden treasure under the ground for those who are really willing to search for it. Those who are willing to dig for it. You see, anybody who really desires to have silver and gold and treasure, they don't mind at all going and searching out where it might be. They don't mind at all digging deep to be able to find that hidden treasure that they want. And so it should be with the wisdom of God. God wants us to search it out, and then God wants us to dig deep to be able to gain the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is a treasure. It truly is. It is a treasure. I don't exactly know where every person in this building is tonight in your life. I don't know every detail about where you're at, what you're faced with, and the things that you are fighting in your life. But I believe if you're anything like me, then you are on a daily quest to find the wisdom of God. I would think there are so many of us here this evening who are looking for wisdom. Looking for wisdom on how that we need to approach and how that we need to better love our spouse. We are looking for wisdom on how we need to discipline and educate and raise our children. We are looking for wisdom when it comes to this matter of what the next decision that we need to make with our job, with our school, our education, or with our ministry efforts that we do right here in this place. We are looking for wisdom. Sometimes it's not so much that we just are not surrendered to do what God wants us to do. It's just we do not know for certain what that really is. And we have not nailed down with clarity. We just don't know for sure. We genuinely want the wisdom of God that we may fulfill the will of God for what that might be in our life. We want Him to step into our life because we know that we're going to mess it all up in and of ourselves. We need Him and we desire Him. But when it comes to needing wisdom about the things we do, the things we say, and the decisions that we have to make, there is no greater place for us to turn than right here to the pages of the Word of God. When we come to James chapter 3, we find what I have found myself in my study to find to be one of the most revealing and convicting passages of Scripture on this matter of wisdom all through the Bible. It is here that we find some words from a wise old man. And folks, there are some things that I want us to learn from it tonight. And I want you to listen very closely. If you're looking for wisdom in your life to make the right decisions, to say the right things, to do the right things, to make those right choices, then I want you to listen closely to these thoughts. I want you to write them down. Stick with me. I believe the Lord will help us. Think with me, first of all, how there is the focused requirement for gaining wisdom. The focused requirement for gaining wisdom. Most of us, in some way or another, we struggle with having a continual focus with the matters that we are faced with in our life. It's hard for us to be consistent with focus. I know it is for me. Surely it is for you as well. In our day, we have got so many different things that are going on at the same time that it is hard for us to focus on just one and give it the attention that we really need to give it to be able to make the right decisions. Our lack of focus due to our overloaded minds, our overloaded schedule, and our overloaded energy that we should have can very easily cause us to make a hasty decision in something which will lead us in the flesh to go down the wrong path, the path that God never intended for us to go. If we really want to get the perfect will of God in our life, you and I sometimes are just going to need to slow down. We're going to need to remove some of the things out of our mind and out of our life and seek the true wisdom of God, the will of God for what He has got in the situation by which we are facing. There are several ways, of course, by which we do this. We do this through prayer, don't we? We find the wisdom of God through prayer. We find wisdom through Bible reading. We find wisdom through church attendance. And I say it again, you will not make it in your spiritual life without those three things. And those of us that just are not committed to those three things, you're just not going to make it. And you're going to keep going down this path of struggling, making the right decisions in your life. It is true, we find wisdom through prayer, through Bible reading, and through church attendance. God feeds us through those things. But in James chapter 3, we find the importance that is placed upon this matter of counsel that is we are to seek out and search from. This matter of counsel in a way of getting it the right way and what God has, which I have found in my own life to be incredibly beneficial to making the decisions that I need to make. But even though we understand that in Scripture, even this counsel comes with some critical searching that we've got to do. There's challenges that come with that. And let me talk to you about this critical search that we've got to be in. Look back with me in verse number 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? James is asking a question here. You see the question mark at the end of that statement? That question, he's asking a question. When we look at this, we see the word wise. The word wise here, it is referring to believers. He's talking to believers. He is referring to believers who are endowed with spiritual and practical wisdom. Just having a little bit of common sense sometimes. Being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Then we'll notice the words that are used here, endued with knowledge. These words, they are speaking of skill and understanding. It's having a skill and an understanding of the things of God. You got to understand what James is doing right now. James is the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He is looking out across the room of his world, the room of his church, the room of his life, and he is saying, where are the old saints of God that I can turn to anymore? Where are the ones that I can look to that's got a little bit of wisdom about them, that's got a little bit of knowledge about them, somebody who's got some intelligence and some understanding for them? Where are the old saints of God who are concerned more about God than they are greed, concerned more about righteousness than they are revenge, concerned more about integrity than they are interference or they are inferiorities or any of these other areas, concerned about all of these things? James is saying, where are the old men and women of God who have just got some good old common sense about them for God anymore, some wisdom for the Lord who can help me as I am trying to make my way through the choppy waters of this life? James is saying, I'm just having a hard time finding them anymore. I'm asking this question, where are these people? I tell you, one of the greatest treasures and blessings that God has poured out on my life is the men of God, the people of God that He has placed in my life, people that I could call upon at any hour of the day or night, and I know that they will answer. They will take the time to listen to what I've got to say, and they would not lead me down the wrong road intentionally for all of the gold and all of the silver in the world. These are people that are invaluable to me, people that impart some wisdom upon my life and help me in my family, help me in my ministry, help me in my walk with God day by day. But friends, I'm telling you, sometimes that's even getting harder and harder to find in our day. I echo the same words as James. Can't you do it as well? Where are the men? Where are the women of God? We talk about this all the time. Who will stand with me and help me and guide me through the stormy and the choppy waters of this life? Do you have some of those people in your life today? Some of those people that you could call on at any time of the day and say, hey, I need some help. I need some guidance. I need some counsel. I need to lean on you right now. I'm telling you that if you have got somebody like that in your life, you ought to bless the name of God for that, because that is a gift that God has given you. Most every one of us have been at that crossroad in our life. Many of us may be here right now where all we really need is somebody to talk to, somebody that we can count on, somebody that we can trust to lead us in the right direction. But even so, with that, who are these people? What are we supposed to look for in their life? How do we know them when we are looking for them? What is the process? Well, it's true that this is a critical search. We're looking for this. James was saying, where are the wise people now? But this critical search will take us to a consistent standing. That's who you look for. You look for some people with a consistent standing. Look further at verse number 13, and we're going to see it in the scripture. He says, let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness is an extension of wisdom. Did you see that? With a meekness of wisdom. Now, when we see those words show out, it is very easy for us to get the idea that James is encouraging those in the room here. That if you think that you have a level, if you think you're a wise person, to show it out to others. In other words, it's easy to get the idea that James is saying, hey, boast of your wisdom. Boast of your intelligence when he uses those words, show out. Boast of your skill. Boast of your understanding of the things of God. But I don't want you to think for one second that that is what James is saying. James is not saying at all that you need, if you think you're a wise person, that's a sign, by the way, you're not. If you think you're a wise person, he's not saying, show it out. I want you to let everybody else know. You see, I've known a whole lot of people through the years, and oh, I know you have as well, who do a really, really great job of trying to convince everybody else that they are a very wise person. By their boisterous voice, they've always got something to add to everything. By their Facebook posts and how they like to counsel everybody on the World Wide Web, where everybody can see what they are saying and the counsel that they are trying to do. Now, I want to be as kind as I possibly can when I say this, but I also want us to learn that when it comes to this matter of who that we are to seek wisdom from, we must be cautious of the individuals with the biggest mouth in the room. We better be cautious of the individuals with the biggest mouth in the room. Why is that? Because they could very well be giving signs to us that they are the biggest fool in the room. And we need to steer clear of them. How many times have I said it? Always watch out for the one who is talking. Always watch out for the one who is talking. The one who is talking is trying to get ahead of a story. The one who is talking is trying to influence you, usually in the wrong direction. Always watch out for the one who is talking. You see, the wisest one in the room is usually, in many cases, the most silent one in the room. The one that is sitting back. The one that is taking it all in. The one that is studying the circumstances that is going on around him. A wise man doesn't boast of wisdom, but he lives of wisdom, which is exactly right here what James is talking about. He's not saying stand up and show out and say, hey, I've got all the answers to everything. I am the wisest person in the room. That's the people you run from. But he is telling us that you do not listen for the wisest person, you look for the wisest person. Their lifestyle will show their wisdom. There will be a consistent standing. Verse 13 tells us, he says, let him show out of good conversation. Then he goes on to talk about his works. What's he talking about? Oh, we've studied it before, but that word conversation, it is referring to his lifestyle or everyday behavior. In other words, when you need some wisdom, when you need some good advice, when you need some good counsel, go and find that one individual for God who has had a consistent standing for the Lord. They've just been faithful through the years. You have watched them live for God. You have watched them honor God. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me at all right now. I am by no means against success. I am by no means against impressive titles. I know a lot of people that are out there that they got more degrees on them than a thermometer on a wall does. I am by no means against all of that. What I am telling you right now is when I need some help, when I need some advice, when I need some counsel, I tell you who I go and look for. I look for that individual who has lived their life on their knees. I look for that individual who has been faithful to God through the good days and through the bad days of life. I look for that individual who has lived their life in a real way. I put far more stock in somebody that has learned some things the real way than somebody who has only ever studied about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody who has a consistent standing for the things of God. Someone said that a man begins cutting his wisdom teeth the first time that he bites off more than he can chew. A man begins cutting his wisdom teeth the first time that he bites off more than he can chew. When you need advice, when you need counsel, when you need some wisdom, look for the people who have been chewing on some things for a few years. The people who have been down the path of life. The people who have walked with God consistently. The people who have proven to be faithful to the things of God through the good days and the bad days of life. They just been consistent for the Lord. That's who James says you need to look for. You can find those people. They are out there. Look for the people who have just been faithful to the Lord. Consistency is a problem in our day. But if you need wisdom, you run away from the people who are not consistent believers, are not consistent in their Bible reading, are not consistent in prayer, are not consistent in their church attendance. Those are the people to stay away from. Doesn't matter how close you are to them. You look for those that have just been faithful through the years, have had a consistent standing for the things of God. The focus required for gaining wisdom. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Think with me now about the firm rejection of godless wisdom. the firm rejection of godless wisdom. Everywhere you look in our society today, someone has got their own version of counsel to add to us. Their own version of wisdom to offer to us based upon what they feel like they have learned and what they think is right and what they think is best. But what they are missing is simply this. There is a vast difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge will tell us what we need to know, but wisdom will tell us how to use it. Knowledge will tell us what we need to do, but wisdom will tell us how to use it. The saddest aspect of this life right now is that science gathers knowledge faster than society gathers wisdom. Can I say that again? The saddest aspect of life right now is that science gathers knowledge faster than society gathers wisdom. Everybody listen to me. Look up at me right now, okay? Listen to me real close. The wisdom that we need to survive in this life for God, it will not come from this sin curse and this satanic influenced world. You cut all that garbage out. You cut that movie channel out of your house. You ain't gonna get any wisdom from it. Get your kids off Instagram and all this social media stuff. They are not learning what they need to know from it. Get all of this other stuff out of your life. They are not influencing you in a wise way. It is a corrupt world. It is a sinful world, a cursed world, and it is a satanic influence world. Get rid of all that junk that is out there. These verses are so helpful to us because James doesn't only tell us who and what to seek wisdom from and about, but he tells us as well exactly who we are to avoid when it comes to this matter of gaining wisdom, the right kind of wisdom. He says, hey, there are some folks you just need to stay away from it. He gives us a road map right here. Now notice how he identifies this godless wisdom. He tells us, first of all, that there is evidence conveyed. There is an evidence conveyed. Now I am taking a whole lot of information right here, a whole lot of evidence about this godless wisdom from the world, and I am condensing it into two groups, into two thoughts right now. I'm calling the first one an impure heart. An impure heart. Look in verse number 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, he says, glory not. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not. Now let's break it down. The word translated from envying, it is speaking, are you listening? Of jealousy. Amen. It is speaking of jealousy. There's not too many things that'll create bitterness in a heart much more or much faster than this matter of jealousy will. Amen. Jealousy is a cancer. And it is destroying the lives of professing believers. Everywhere we look. And it's so easy for us to get eat up with that. Jealousy about this matter or that matter or this individual. To have envy or jealousy in our hearts toward others who may appear to be more talented, appear to be more educated, appear to be more respected. Listen, it is evidence that we are not exemplifying the wisdom of God. It is godless wisdom when we have that kind of thing in our heart. Look further. We'll notice the word strife that is using. It is giving the idea, this word strife is, of self-seeking ambition or rivalry. Self-seeking ambition or rivalry. It is speaking of self being on the throne of our lives. And we don't care where anybody else finishes as long as we finish first. That's a problem in our day as well. I know some of the most selfish people. All they care about is themselves. Making sure they cross the finish line first. Now, we also see James use the words glory not. And these words, they are speaking of to boast or to exult. That's taking us back to what we talked about just a few minutes ago. This goes back to our thought a minute ago, but you are anyone else who sees the need to tout your wisdom, to boast about your wisdom in a self-proclaiming, look at me kind of way. They are operating under the influences of more foolish characteristics than they are of godly characteristics with this matter. What they are having is an impure heart that can only offer godless wisdom. When you are seeking wisdom, or when you are looking to offer wisdom, you better make sure that you've got an impure heart. That it is not overcome with jealousy, with rivalry, with look at me, self-glory, an impure heart, but think as well about an intense honesty. An intense honesty. The verse number 14, it tells us, and lie not against the truth. That is a profound statement. And lie not against the truth. I mean this when I say it. I am a guy who wants people to be honest with me. I really do. And I want to be honest in a kind way. I want to be honest to people as well. Look, just because somebody's kind to you and they're not chewing you up one side and right down the other doesn't mean they're not being honest with you. People can be kind, should be kind, but yet still have the ability to be honest. I want people to be honest with me. I want to be honest with other people. But for that to happen, every one of us has first got to be honest with ourselves. Boy, we miss that. The biggest lie being told in this building right now, or in the life of the believer as a whole, is to ourselves. We are lying to ourselves about our standing with God. Lying to ourselves about our standing with others. And we are never going to get this truth in our heart until some of us just fall down on our face and say, dear God, I'm tired of wearing this mask. I'm tired of it, God. I want to rip it off and I want to be honest with myself and acknowledge that I have got work to do on me. Wisdom never parts company with truth. Learn that. Wisdom never parts company with truth. If we have to part from the truth, if we have to adjust the truth, tweak it, bend around it just a little bit, we are not operating under the wisdom of God. But we are operating under godless wisdom. Whenever you're faced with something and you need God's wisdom, you better start getting honest. Because until you start getting honest, you're never going to make the right choice. Wisdom never parts company with truth. There is evidence conveyed that he says, hey, stay away from this stuff. Then he tells us why an evidence conveyed, but an evident confusion. An evident confusion. What is all this evidence conveyed? If we get this godly wisdom, or if we give this godly wisdom, what is it going to cause? What's going to happen? Verse 15 goes on to tell us as we build to it. This wisdom, look at this. It descendeth not from above. That's not coming from God, he's saying. But it is earthly. It is sensual. Devilish. Earthly, sensual, devilish. He is referring to the wisdom given under the influence of jealousy, of rivalry, self-glory, or lies. He says any of that that is gained or given under any of those pretenses is not from God. It is godless wisdom. Now look at it closer with me. The word that we see sensual here, it is making a reference to the soul of the natural man. And it is speaking to wisdom that is either gained or given from an impure heart that is so bad. It is so absurd advice that you're getting, or counsel that you are getting, that it is giving the characteristics of coming from a lost person. Remember, we have to stay away from gaining counsel and wisdom from that world. But you always know, even if they are a professing believer, you always know that it is not guidance, counsel, advice, or wisdom that you need to get when it is so obviously bad that it sounds like it's coming from a lost person. It's giving the idea that this is hellish stuff. Amen. That it's demon type stuff. Let's talk about that. The word devilish that we see, it is used in verse number 15. It is speaking of devil-like. Devil-like. What's the bottom line of what James is telling us? The Lord is telling us through the pen of James that any wisdom that is connected to or given the impression, even the appearance of jealousy, rivalry, self-glory, lies, hold the characteristics of a lost person that is likely from the very pit of hell itself, and it should not be trusted. If it looks shady, if it smells fishy, in just a little bit, if it sounds questionable, it probably is, and you should not adhere to it. It is very likely a godless wisdom, a plant of the evil one to get you to make some wrong choices in your life. Now let's look at what it's going to lead to. The wrong type of godless wisdom, verse number 16 tells us, for where envying and strife is, that's the root of it, okay? That's the impure heart. There is, somebody tell me, confusion. There is confusion. The word confusion right here, it is speaking of disorder. Have you ever sought wisdom from somebody, counsel, advice, they give it to you? Have you ever given it to somebody, but yet after you've gotten it, you or they are more confused than you were when you walk away than you were when you walked up to them? Friend, if you walk away more confused than you were when you walked up to them, there is a very good possibility that is some godless wisdom. Why? Well, we already know from 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, God is not the author of confusion. So if God is not in the confusion that you are experiencing due to the wisdom that you have gotten, there's always going to be trouble that's going to follow. Confusion will always lead to trouble if it's not dealt with. Look further at the verse. And every evil work. Every evil work. The vast majority of the evil deeds in this world can be traced back somewhere to some bad advice that somebody had gotten somewhere along the line. That bad advice was usually gained by some people who were just confused about what was right. Maybe ignorant of the truth of God, the Word of God, and what God expects, but it's just a bad bit of advice, and it led to people making some bad choices that led to evil deeds. You've got to understand that when you are faced with any level of confusion in your life, you are very likely getting some bad counsel, getting some bad wisdom. The wisdom of God will not lead to confusion. When you go to gaining or giving wisdom, you better be very, very careful, because bad advice, bad wisdom can very easily lead to sin of the heart, mind, and body. Godless wisdom will take you down the wrong path every time. We talk first of all about having the focus required for gaining wisdom, the firm rejection of godless wisdom. But think right now for me just a minute about the fruitful results of godly wisdom. The fruitful results of godly wisdom. Hey, aren't you thankful that God will always have the last word in things? Seek the proven people of God. Have a pure heart to search truth and rely on truth and be able to be proven in that truth, and everything will be okay. even in a 2020 world where everything seems so messed up and everything seems so so confusing, the right choices, the right decision can still be made. Don't be carried away by worldly fables or this bad opinions of unrighteous man. Let God be God and every other man a liar. Truth is still the truth. God is still God. The Bible is still the Bible, and it so clearly declares to us that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give us wisdom. Hey, there is still a path to godly wisdom. And when we get on that path, and when we finally start heading down that way, we will be amazed at the things that will flow out of our life. Things that we did not go to the university to learn. Things that we did not go, as we talked Wednesday night, and rent that book to learn. God will give us wisdom that we never even knew we had. Now think about it, because he so beautifully lays it out to us in the 17th verse. He tells us, first of all, about a precious outflowing. That's what I'm talking about. Those things that will outflow, flow out of the life of the believer. Look at it with me. He says, verse number 17, but the wisdom that is from above, that is godly wisdom, it is first pure. It has to be pure. For he's a pure God. He is a holy God, a righteous God. Then peaceable it will be, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. It is going to be without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. How many of you still with me? Say amen. Say, I love you, Brother John. Thank you for that. This is such a beautiful picture of the wisdom of God flowing out of the life of a child of God. Now, I've broken it down into 8 different sections by which we just read. Write these things down. If we are operating with godly wisdom, these are the things that are going to come out of our life. We see, first of all, of course, the purity. The word pure, it is speaking of free from defilement. It has not been contaminated. It comes from the same root word, holy. We are then referring to the wisdom of God again. The things that are going to come out of our life are going to be pure things. Things that are going to come out of our mouth are going to be pure things. When you start talking about things that are off-colored, when you start talking about things that could give the wrong impression, when you start talking about things that just are not seasoned with the grace of God, you are not operating under the wisdom of God. You are not having God's wisdom flow out of your life. The wisdom of God will never, never be connected to any word, thought, or deed that is impure. When you're operating under the wisdom of God, it'll just flow out of you. The purity of God will just flow out of you. Then there is the peace. The purity, but then there is the peace. The word peaceable, it is speaking of peace loving. Speaking of peace loving, a person operating under the influence of the wisdom of God, godly wisdom, will never go into a situation with guns a-blazing, mowing over everybody in their path, no matter how high their emotions may be. You friend, I friend, we are not operating under the influence of godly wisdom. It's godless then. We're not operating under godly, but when we are operating under godly wisdom, we will have a peace-loving attitude by which we'll see the end of in just a moment. We all need help with that, don't we? There is the purity. There is the peace. There is the patience. There is the patience. You see the word right here, gentle, that is used in the text. It is speaking of moderation. It is speaking of forbearingness. It is telling us that there will be some patience that comes with somebody that has the wisdom of God flowing out of them. The wisdom of God causes a man to be patient. It causes an individual to take a step back, to size up the situation that he is being faced with. that he may make a decision that is lined up with the will of God, according to the wisdom of God. I've always respected somebody who takes time in making the big choices of life. The things that are going to affect your life. The things that are going to affect your family. Why? It is a characteristic of godly wisdom. Somebody that is patient is somebody that has godly wisdom. Amen. That is flowing out of their life. Listen closely to me as we move to the finish. We see also that there is the presence. The presence. The words that we see recorded here, easy to be entreated, they mean approachable. They also mean compliant. Speaking of somebody that you can approach, and that individual will listen to you. They'll be compliant with what you are saying. It is an old ancient military term that he says here, easy to be entreated. It is an ancient military term, and it points to the soldier who is approachable and who is compliant in giving and carrying out the orders that individual has been given. With all of my heart, I want to express and show the wisdom of God, because I want to be an approachable individual at any time and in any place by any person and about any subject. I have people tell me all the time, I don't want to bother you, seem so big. No. I want to be approachable. If there's a need in your life, I will do everything I can within my ability, if for nothing else, to sit down and pray with you. You might have to wait a few minutes, but just sit down and pray with you. I want to be a guy that is approachable. I want to be an individual who has a compassion and a burden for what your need is. Why? Because it is a characteristic of godly wisdom that ought to flow out of my life. True wisdom will let people know that you are a reasonable person. And that's what he is talking about. Easy to be entreated. You are a reasonable person. People can talk to you, and they will talk to you because they trust you. And they know that you're not going to run out and tell their story to the entire world. They can respect what you're saying. They can trust that you will honor their discretion in it. Then there is the pity. The fifth thing is the pity. The words "for full of mercy" refer to pity. This form of wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, it speaks of having sympathy on those that are just in a tough spot of life. Those that are just in a miserable season of their life, even if it is their fault. And even if we don't want to have anything to do with it. He is saying that if you want to reflect the characteristics of God and have it flowing out of you, you must have pity on some people. Show mercy to some people. It is a picture of a loving God. Amen. Who shows mercy to you and I day in and day out. And we get his full attention when we cry out to him in desperate repentance. He will always answer. He will always show us pity. You see, a picture of the wisdom of God is just showing mercy to those, pity on those that we may disagree with, that have even put themselves in a bad situation, and we may not want to intervene in. And then there is the productivity. Number six, I was going to call this the produce because of the words "of good fruit," but we'll go with productivity. You see the words right here, "of good fruit." They are talking about actions that have made a difference in the lives of others. The wisdom of God flowing out of our life who calls us to make a difference in the lives of others. The wisdom of God flowing out of our lives will cause a person to have an eye-popping stellar resume. of kindness, no matter how bad everybody else may mistreat us. No matter what they've done to you, the wisdom of God will show kindness. Doesn't mean they run over you and you let them do that. It just means you kindly deal with it. And you will develop the reputation of a gracious person who stands true and firm. That's the wisdom of God. That comes flowing out of our life. The seventh thing that we see is the partiality. We see that word right there, don't we? The partiality. This is speaking of people who prematurely start taking sides of everybody else. Stay out of people's squabbles, by the way. Unless you've got to get into it, stay out. And by the way, if one man comes to you and wants to tell you his side of a story about his wife, you say, I have nothing to listen to you about. I won't talk to one man about his wife or one wife about her husband. I will stop them directly until I have husband, wife in my presence right then. I'm not going to get this ear full of this story or this ear full of that story, and I'm hung in the middle. There's three sides to every truth, isn't there? The truth is somewhere in the middle of his story, her story, and the truth is in the middle of that somewhere. There's three sides of it. You got to be real, real cautious about this. Friends, it does not matter if they carry your same last name. It does not matter if they have your blood flowing through their body. It does not matter if they have your team colors. If you've known them your whole life, it does not matter. That does not mean they are right. Don't you take partiality at anything. The wisdom of God will say, no, no, hold on. I'm taking a step back. I'm pausing. Remember, it's patience. And I'm seeking God in this matter. People, the old saying goes, blood is thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water. How many times through the years have we found somebody taking the side of a child, taking the side of an aunt or an uncle over somebody else, knowing that individual was wrong? Amen. Knowing they were wrong. Knowing upon the authority of God's word, they were wrong. That is showing a lack of the wisdom of God. But then he says on number 8 right here, he tells us the perception. Talks about the perception. Look at the final words. And without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. It speaks of theater. It speaks of a drama that is being played out on the stage of life. You see, true wisdom, the wisdom of God, will prevent us from putting on a show, trying to convince a whole bunch of people that we are somebody we are not, or trying to hide from a bunch of people who we really are. I refer us back again, lie not against the truth. That is godly wisdom. But somebody who is expressing the wisdom of God, the characteristics of God, just a real individual, will flow out of their life of who God made them to be. We have a whole lot of professing believers running around today trying to bid for Academy Awards, and they're doing a good job. But one day they're going to lose their reward because they're operating only in a hypocrisy. They're in a play. They're in a drama. On the stage of life, one day, the curtain on your show is going to go down. The spotlight is going to shut off. And we will then be exposed for who we really were. Based on the purity, the peace, the patience, the presence, the pity, the productivity, the partiality, the perception of what the Scripture has just laid out to us word by word. Do you have the characteristics of godly wisdom in your life right now? He has just told us what that is. If we do, it'll flow out of our lives. All these things will. A precious outflowing. And that'll tell the end of the story, because then we'll have a proven overcomer. A proven overcomer, the 18th verse tells us. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It is sown in them that, now notice the word make, that make peace. James says, those who truly have a godly wisdom will sow and reap a life of peace. In other words, he is saying they're going to be winners in all things. You're going to have the peace of God in your life. Now listen to me. A life that is constantly consumed with drama and chaos is a life that is not operating under the influence of godly wisdom. And that, friend, is why we are constantly losing the battles of life. Because we are not operating under godly wisdom. The wisest people in the world that we need to give all of our attention to are those that walk around with a smile on their face, a joy in their heart, a peace in their spirit, even when it seems like their entire world is falling apart. These are the people who can pillow their heads at night in perfect peace, knowing they have done their absolute best to honor Jesus. And they're able to go to sleep that night in total peace. Write it down. Thomas Fuller said, the fool wonders, the wise man travels. The fool wonders, the wise man travels. Some of us tonight have been wandering down the roads of godless wisdom for far too long. And tonight, we just need to fall down on our knees before God. Make a fresh determination in our heart. By God's grace, I'm going to start traveling down the roads of godly wisdom. If a student is too lazy to study for their class, they should not complain when they get an F on the test. Amen? If a Christian is too lazy to find out what God says about a given subject that you are faced with, he should not be surprised when he makes the wrong decision. Needing wisdom when faced with the most pressing moments of life. I've told you time and time again, I want to get us ready to meet God. All of us. Folks, if we're too lazy to pick up that Bible, we're never going to make the right decision. Too lazy to spend time daily in prayer, we're never going to make the right decision. If we're too lazy to get out of bed and get to church, we're never going to make the right decision. It is time for some of us that keep struggling in this life to stop fooling around with this thing. Stop getting bogged down with a bunch of stuff and determine in our hearts that we are going to have the outflowing of the characteristics of the wisdom of God from our lives. Maybe some of you don't know this. James, the writer of this book, was the son of Mary and Joseph, making him the half-brother of the Lord Jesus himself. He would have shared the same house with Jesus, sat at the same table, maybe even gone to the same schools, maybe had some hand-me-down clothes as well. There would have been nobody, not many people, that would have been closer to Christ than so would have James. So without question, these are words from a wise old man. I think the question is simply this. Are we going to listen to him? Let's all stand in the presence of the Lord.